I got tickled the other day when James Dietzman, James was a young man. He's the same age I am. But years ago, down there in the Baptist church, he's a cowboy, and he was always messing with cows, and he was roping some cows, and he fell off of a horse and broke his left hand. And Friday, he went to the doctor. They x-rayed, hands broke. And they wanted to do something. He said, nope, ain't nobody going to touch my hand. He said, there's a man of God that goes to church with me at the Baptist church. He's going to pray for me Sunday, and God's going to heal me. Well, Sunday when I walked in, he was standing on the back row, and he grabbed me and said, Thurman, I broke my wrist. Broke my hand. You got to come pray for me. I said, well, let's go down front and pray. But he said, no, there's too much unbelief in this place. Let's go back to the library. Isn't that something? So we go back to the library. Back at, just before we go out the door on the right was the library in that little Baptist church. And I said, is it hurting? Of course, it's all swelled up. He said, absolutely it's hurting. I said, James, you know you got to believe. He said, you pray for me and it's done. I reached over and slapped that hand with broken, said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And God instantly healed James Dietzman's hand. He said, I was down in a place the other day and somebody said something. There's a bunch of different kind of denominations down there. And he said, somebody said something about Thurman Scrivener. I said, oh, praise God. He said, I love that guy, Thurman Scrivener. And he said, one of them said, he's a radical. James, he said, I wish the world was full of radicals like him. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I had a broken hand years ago, and he prayed for it, and God instantly healed it. He said, that's why I'm glad he's a radical.
Amen.
You know, when you get an instant healing on a broken hand, don't you wish the world was full of them kind of guys? And women? Men and women that know their God. The Word of God says the people that know their God shall do great things in His name.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus?
Amen.
I love serving Jesus. But He says, I am writing to you who are young because you have won your battle with Satan. He'll be after you as a young person, I guarantee. He'll be out there to deceive you and pull you off to the side. And it's a shame that there's not more mature men to be there for them young people.
Amen.
So that we can talk to them about who our mighty God is and what we've seen Him do in our life. Verse 14 and 15. I have written to you, children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you who are mature because you have known Christ, the one who is from the beginning. I've written to you who are young because you are strong with God's word living in your hearts and you have won your battle with Satan. Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. Now the world, too many men love the world and they want to do one thing in life and that's make $1 million by the time they're 40 or 50 years old so they can have everything their heart desires. That kind of love for the world, you'll probably never live to enjoy it. You know, if you spend all of your time working to build your empire so you can have money, you'll probably never live to enjoy it. I've seen many a man work his life away by the time he's 50, and yeah, maybe he's got a pretty good bunch of assets. But then something, he didn't put Jesus first, and then he gets killed in a car wreck, or he gets sick, or something happens to him, and he spends the rest of his life and spends every dime he made trying to stay alive. I've seen it over and over and over. And they don't enjoy that last 20 or 30 years. They live in hell on earth, then they die and go to hell. Or if they were really Christian, they die and go to heaven, but they don't get any rewards when they get there. How would you like to get to heaven and God says, okay, I've got a back 40 out here. You know, don't have no houses out there. Got a few tents out there, but you can stay out there. How would you like to live in heaven in a tent? When He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you with mansions. I'd rather live in a mansion, hadn't you?
Amen.
But you ain't going to just make Jesus your Savior and never do nothing for Him and get one of those mansions. He's building that mansion according to your works here on this earth. That's the way He's doing that. He says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you, for when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. That's what's wrong with so many Christian men. 16 and 17. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure. I mean, if it feels good, do it. I mean, I got to have that new car. You know, the other day when Cheryl and I was in Germany and I walked in and I looked at those brand new Mercedes-Benz. Now, when I was a kid, you know, I probably would have drooled over one of those things. But I walked up and looked at that thing, and it was 105,000 euros, which is $150,000 for a new Mercedes-Benz. That just turned me off. I thought, you know, that makes my little $5,700 2002 Ford Ranger pickup look extremely good.
Amen.
You know? I mean, $5,700. You know, it's only got 40,000 miles on it. Where will it take me? Anywhere that $150,000 Mercedes will take me. And probably does it on less gas. It gets 30 miles to the gallon. I doubt seriously if that new $150,000 Mercedes, you know, gets 30 miles to the gallon. Oh, yeah, I could walk up to somebody and say, oh, look at me. I got a new Mercedes and it costs $150,000. I want you to know how much I give for it. I'm trying to impress you. Forget it. Forget it. That don't bother me at all. Somebody walks up, tells me, look at my $150,000 new Mercedes I got. And I said, well, hey, praise God. I said, look at my little $5,700 Ford pickup. I said, the beast gets me everywhere I want to go. Amen. And the tax is a whole lot cheaper, and I got all my money left. See,
Amen.
So I don't spend mine. So.
Right.
The lust for everything we see and pride in our possessions. Oh, man, are we proudful. These are not from the Father. They are from the evil world. And this world is fading away. Is it fading away?
Yes, sir.
It sure is. Along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever. Ooh, does that sound good? But if you do the will of the Father, you will live forever. You know, I mean, I think about one of the things I read on the internet about the floods in the Midwest, which are still going on, by the way. One young man said in 96, they said the 100-year flood, and it washed, got 4 foot deep in my house. So he said, I thought, well, if this only happens 100 years, I'll rebuild. But he said, we just had the 200-year flood, and it washed my house away. And it happened from 96 to 2008, so that's a pretty short 200 years, isn't it? On this earth, that's what can happen, right?
Amen.
That's what can happen. Now, praise God that since we know Jesus and we know who we really are and what we can do, when we stand on the promises of God, just like that story Dave read a while ago about that young man over there, when he read Psalm 91 and he stood on Psalm 91, what happened to him? He was the only prisoner who got out of that prison camp alive. Isn't that something? Now then, was that same thing that was available to him available to everybody else? Sure was. But they didn't know it, see? And God's a faith God. So they didn't ask, and so they didn't get it. So they died. They didn't get the benefits. Okay, verse 18 and 19. Dear children, the last hour is here. Okay, now wait a minute. We had a prophet here last Sunday. But here's this guy. He made this statement 2,000 years ago. Dear children, the last hour is here. That's a long hour. That's what I'm saying. When prophets tell you something's going to happen tomorrow, don't take a whole lot of confidence in that. Even though they might have heard from God. You think this guy's hearing from God? Absolutely. It's God's time. It's God's hour. And where have we read? And with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Did we read that? See, God's timing and our timing is not the same. Obvious, just like this guy. Dear children, the last hour is here. You know, somebody read that and say, oh my gosh, let me run out here and put my head in the bucket, you know, because Jesus is going to come in the next 45 or 50 minutes. But you'd have died right there with your head in that bucket and wouldn't accomplish nothing. But if you say, hey, the last hour is here, it's still here. It's still going on. So what am I going to do? I'm going to keep living. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to get up every morning and tell my wife how beautiful she is. And that we're going to go through the day today. We're going to have fun today. We're going to live and love. And we're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to build churches. We're going to go places
Amen.
And preach the Word of God.
Amen.
We're going to do all kinds of things. What am I supposed to do? Do I cancel next week after next when I'm supposed to go to Detroit to preach to 1,000 people? Am I supposed to cancel that? No. No. You know, although he said the last hour is here, that's been a long hour.
That's right.
2,000 years. And it's still going on. So you think I'm going to get excited because somebody said it may happen this month? Hey, this guy said it's going to happen in an hour. 2,000 years ago. So if somebody else says it may happen in 30 days, boy, that may be forever. You see where I'm coming from?
Amen.
It's God's timing.
Amen.
It's not mine. It's not yours. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when we pray, we can change things. I remember a prophet that walked into the city of Nineveh, and he was burped up out of the belly of a fish. He didn't come in no three-piece suit. He smelt bad, looked bad, and he's walked through the street screaming, "If this city don't repent in 40 days, God's going to wipe this place out." And they all come to fasting and praying, including the king, even the animals. They didn't feed the animals. They fasted and prayed and asked God to forgive their sin. And Jonah went out there on the hill and he said, "God, I don't want to do this because I know how merciful you are. You know, I'm going to walk through here and tell these people you're going to kill them all. And if they do repent, I know you're so merciful you're going to forgive this bunch of stupid people and I don't like them." Was that kind of what happened? It's kind of paraphrasing it, but that's kind of what happened. Jonah was all upset, and then God let a little vine grow up in the shade, you know, and then it let that little worm come and eat the vine, and it died. And he's all upset about this vine dying. Oh, God says, "Here I got 100,000 human beings down there, and you're more concerned over a stupid vine than you are about these 100,000 souls." Are we glad God's in control instead of us? If Jonah had been in control, he'd have walked through there and said, "You bunch of hypocrites, I'm wiping you all out. Bam, be killed." He wouldn't have given him a chance, would he? But aren't you glad God's God and you're not God?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.